is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Live on the road. Hello, welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Donna Hancock on the road again and again and again and again, again. We're in Austin, Texas now. We spent the weekend in Decatur, which is about 30, 40 miles northwest of Fort Worth, Texas, where my parents and my sister live. This is, they originally, and I can fill up a segment. I was born in, as I tell the U.S. border guards, okay, they go, are you a U.S. citizen? And I was born in Dade City, Florida. What? I was born in a hospital in Dade City, Florida. All right, go, okay? The reason is because they... I don't really understand what... Are you a U.S. citizen? It's, shut up. And, sometimes, some of the guys, you want to play with them. You're in a group and you start speaking Arabic or, some alien language or whatever. Or you do it in an accent. You go, yeah, what are they going to do? Go over secondary. The biggest thing is that, if you're causing them a problem, over there. Now, this is what we were talking about when Nick, our friend that moved to Chicago, he's at Pork Fest, and he's going through the TSA line. Now, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, because he opted out, and he didn't want to go get radiated. So they go, do you have any sensitive areas? Yes, my balls. What? You can't say that. He goes, you ask me where a sensitive area? My balls, don't touch my balls. We go over the supervisor. What's the problem? This guy. He's being uncooperative. What did you say? I said, he asked me what sets of parts. I said, my balls, don't touch my balls. So he's going, well, you can't, it's just, man, it's weird. So when they go through the checkpoints in Arizona, I did a video on it one time. You go to YouTube channel, Ernest Hancock, whatever, you'll see one of the videos I did up there. And I started to realize, I'm like, why would they ask such a stupid question? It's just I don't know. So they can ask you a question. Once you start answering questions, when do you stop? Okay. So the thing was, is that they ask you, are you a U.S. citizen? Well, that's a legal question. I don't know. Am I? What makes me, I don't remember, doing, I guess, when you're in first grade and 6 years old, I pledge allegiance to, they start you down the path. So I'm thinking about it, and I go, what makes me a U.S. citizen? As a kid, I didn't, do anything. I guess they claim I am because of what? Because of where you were born. So I go, okay, I was born in Florida. Well, does that make me a citizen? I don't know. Go check your supervisor. So they just kind of let me go through. All right. So anyway, I bring that up because, well, the thing is that, I was born in Florida. That's where my father was from. And he moved to Decatur, Texas. My mother's job She used to, and then of course, when I was 12, we moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and we lived there since. So you're a native Arizona if you tubed the Salt River, spit in the Grand Canyon, and survived a few summers. I mean, you know, that makes you a native back in the day, because everybody was from somewhere else. There was such an influx of people moving into Arizona during the 70s and so on that, you know, is that, ooh, you were born here? Hey, weirdo. You know, so it's, I just remember, Arizona as my stomping grounds, because wherever, you know, you grew up a lot of times as a kid, and certainly your teenage years where you go to high school, that's kind of where you call home. But, you know, I'm still looking forward to taking my wife and family. That may be one of the last main things that we do, is we go to the Keys in Florida, go do the Caribbean, kind of, you know, watch the sunsets, play in the beach, and still America, you know, and have a tropical experience in one summer. So maybe, you know, or even the winter. And so we may do that, because I just want to make sure I get the whole United States. And we pretty much did the whole thing this time. The only thing we didn't go is we didn't go down into Florida. So we may make that one last trip. And then other than that, we've been pretty much everywhere. So as my mother, you know, worked for a big pharmaceutical supply company as a sales rep, and then got a job in their customer service running the whatever, and she lived in Decatur. Well, then when they moved there over a decade ago, my sister went with them, or she, you know, just kind of followed them out there because she, you know, their marriage had broken up and little kids and everything. She wanted to be near mom and dad. So she went to Decatur also. So when I go coming back down, we stopped in Decatur, spent time with my sister, my nephew, her son, his wife, three kids, had a great time, visited my parents, and then, now we got to go to Austin. Now, in Austin, here is the capital of Texas, and I don't think I've ever really been to, you know, spent any time in Austin. So this is the capital of Texas. You got university here. You know, there's a lot of activity here, and we're looking forward to spending some time with John Bush and Catherine Bleich. Now, we've met them over the years, over the past 4 or 5 years, many different conferences, a couple pork fests. Spent some time with them, and they moved here for a reason, and we're going to find out what that reason is today. So after the show, there's a place called Brave New Books, and we had to have some stuff shipped there too, some laminations, thanks for the cards and so on, because we need more, and long story. So anyway, so we're going there to pick that up. I'm going to check that out, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. You know, what kind of, you know, activism they got going. Now, this evening, they have, you know, an Austin Police Department training something, which I have no idea, but there I'm sure it involves standing in front of the Austin Police Department and with a megaphone. So we're gonna find out what's what. So this afternoon we're gonna go ahead and visit with them. Now Catherine and John are moving from where they are now to a larger facility. You know, they say, hey, you know, we'll get like 5 acres. They're going to really start getting serious about producing and farming and more chickens and whatever, and raising their baby there. And I'm just going, you know, this is going to be interesting to see. I really been paying attention because I've known them individually as activists for quite a while. A lot of us have watched them as they've had an impact on the movement, and just really they're not complying. They're just aware, alive, awake, and they're going to go ahead and raise the next generation. And it really you know, at Pork Fest, I was referring to them as Neo and Trinity had a baby. So this is this is something that, you know, is really I've contemplated for a long time, because my children, you know, they went, you know, you're never a prophet in your own land. I mean, they understand all this, you know, activist stuff and political stuff, and they grew up with it. They, you know, lived it. They were part of it. They were a big, giant asset to it. But, you know, they're like, hey, man, you know, we've had our fill. We know how to, you know, we'll go in the system, whatever we got to, but we'll be over here, and they'll bother us. So Kat and John are so out on the front of this thing, and it's very interesting for us to see how they really, really put it to the test in bringing up their child. So we're going to, you know, get a touchstone here. We're going to, you know, get a baseline. We're going to pay attention. And then we'll be checking in over the years. It'll be fun. And we start today. We got news.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
What if the key to achieving liberty in your lifetime was to move together with others who think like you? Liberty activists are joining the Free State Project, which is over halfway to its goal of 20,000 participants. And they're already making the move to New Hampshire. The successes are piling up and are proving the Free State Project is a real movement and no longer just a great idea. When you're planning your move, consider Keene. Keene is famous for its civil disobedience and non-cooperation, and there's plenty of political opportunity as well. From demonstrations and vigils to outreach and volunteering, there's a lot going on in Keene. Keene is also the undisputed Liberty Media capital of the world, with television, talk radio, and more, all originating here. Though it's more than just activism, with regular social events each week. See what's happening at FreeKeene.com and get connected with video, audio, free books, a forum, and activist tools you can download and use in your area at FreeKeene.com. That's FreeKeene.com.
My name is Jacob Hornberger. I'm president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, which Congressman Ron Paul awarded for having an outstanding freedom website. Write us at fff@fff.org, and we'll send you a free 3-month subscription to our monthly journal of libertarian essays and our booklet, Economic Liberty in the Constitution, which George Mason University economics professor Walter Williams praised in a recent column. That's fff@fff.org.
Imagine someone in your community getting in their car, turning on the radio, and hearing the Liberty Radio Network. You can make that vision a reality with your own micro radio station. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how you can put our programs on the air in your area. You can have lrn.fm running around the clock, and you can even add in your own local shows. Building a radio station is simple, but programming isn't. That's where lrn.fm comes in. Learn more at broadcast.lrn.fm. That's broadcast.lrn.fm.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
If there's going to be some roads, they better be better than the ones in Ohio. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, oh, my God. Because we drove in the West, man. They're so much better. Well, maybe not California. But anyway, Arizona, nice roads. You know, all going through the West, nice roads. You get to, and I bet you they pay a lot of taxes, too. You know what I mean? They go, yeah, we got a lot of people. Yeah, we get a lot of gasoline. So, yeah, we got a lot of money for them roads. Yeah, we don't spend it on it. Or we do something else with it. Or when we do, we're just going to shut down. You know, this weekend, it was Friday, I guess, and Saturday, we spent probably hours sitting at a dead stop on the interstate. As they're doing whatever. I mean, it's just, and then you get up there and nobody's working. They're just funneling it down to one lane. And it's, and they do it over 4th of July weekend, or the weekend before 4th of July. So I'm just like, seriously, you know, yeah, yay, no roads, man. Give me my dirigible. I'm going to fly. I want to not this because we have the money lift on the back of the trailer too. So I mean, you know, that thing just get a crap beat out of it. I mean, I got a pat on the back whoever built that trailer because oh yeah, it was me and my sons. Yes, and it survives. So I'm definitely got a vote on all the roads. And I knew this before. I've traveled the country before. But, you know, it's kind of rough. You're in a car. But when you're pulling a trailer and you're kind of loaded down and everything, man, if you don't feel everything, I'm like, wow, I got respect for the truckers. Ohio sucks. I mean, if I had to compare all of them, I'd say, you know, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio. But, you know, Ohio gets the blue ribbon. So and we came down. We're in the Tennessee, and you know it's like, you know, one stop looks the same as the next stop, and whatever. And that's another thing I want to talk about, too. I'll talk about that a little bit. But we get in, and I'm like, man, we went, and it was deliverance or something. You know, we are in a different, we must be in Tennessee. at the front register, this is how it is, okay? At the front register, they got iced down 32-ounce bottles of beer, okay? And fried chicken, you know, being put into the bins, you know, kind of a sneeze guard area, you know, like a display right behind the counter. You got the cashier right there blipping your stuff, and right next to him is fried chicken. You know, we got our fried chicken right here, and they just keep loading it up, man. You know, people going in getting their fried chicken, and then you get I just culture shock. You know, you're in another part of the country. And I remember a lot of this. I lived in Florida till I was 12 and then went back for a few months when I was 15. And and you don't really realize how different things are until, you know, you get immersed back into it. You know, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, because you move somewhere else and you come in and it's, you know, it's different. So I remember taking vacations across the country, usually about, at least every other summer, if not every summer, we would drive from Florida to Arizona to visit my grandmother and my uncle and kids and cousins and so on. So it was like a two-week deal. You had a two-week vacation. You know, it was like 4 days to get out there, 4 days to get back. You have to stay there for however many, you know, a week left over. And it was cross-country. And a couple of things that I remember. One of the things that really struck me is in the summer, you're leaving Florida, you know, it's hot, you know, but, you know, they go, it's so humid. No, it's not. It just rains all the time. I mean, you're a kid. You don't know the difference. So we get to, I think it was New Mexico or something somewhere, and my dad warned me. He goes, now when you get out, you know, it's gonna be hot. And I'm like, I whiz on your hot. You know, rest area, there's like a desert out here in Cactus, and me and my sisters want to run and play and, you know, run down the dirt hill in the desert and play in dirt and desert. And so he goes, no, when you get out, it's gonna be hot. It's gonna be a different kind of hot. And we're like, you know, hot's hot. What the heck do we know? Open the door, and this blast furnace. And the only way to describe it is when you open the oven door and that wave of heat hits you in the face. That's what it's like. And it's just this, I mean, it's actual radiation heat, ambient, you know, freaking mirage making heat, just heat. And it's heat. And it's different than, you know, the thing else that you've experienced if you haven't done it before, this dry heat. But I am so tired of feeling like I got a slime on my body 4 weeks. It's hot. It's muggy. It's, give me the desert. Yay, I vote desert. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And this is one thing that I made sure my sons realized, too, traveling the country. And I was about, when was it? It was like 05. They, my second son graduated high school, but both of them, they had a car, they went, they didn't even make it out of Arizona, transmission went on it. So I'm like, ah, fine, I need another car anyway. So I bought, you know, a nice 03 Impala, you know, white and Chevy Impala. And it was not, I got to drive it like 6 miles. And so they get to make their trip. I just, here, take it, go. And I didn't get it for 6 weeks, you know. So they took off, went cross country, and gave them a tent and, you know, different places to go and people to see and friends and family and, you know, just kind of, you know, hooked them up. And they met us in New Hampshire and helped us with the Freedom Summit up there. And then they went to South Carolina on the beach and spent a week or so there with my in-laws. And they got to, you know, reunite with them. And my daughters were there and they just all got to have a good time. Well, in that travel, I told them, I said, look, you need to pay attention. You're going to get to see America. I mean, you might find some place, oh, this is where I want to be. Oh, I always want to be here. A lot of people do that. They'll go to different places and they'll go, man, this is it. You know, I go, you need to make this comparison. You need to take the opportunity. You know, where do you want to be? You know, so one thing to keep in mind is, how do you feel about bugs? How bugs treating you? You know, you go out, what do you think about bugs? So they go in, and that's one thing they were zeroed in on, and tell you, they're going, damn, there's bugs everywhere. Yes, there is, you know, except in Arizona. So when you get to Arizona, you know, there's bugs, but it's not like, you know, it's not like bugs. And so I really am becoming, and I knew that this would probably happen. I traveled enough, and it's good to do it together with Donna. I'm just a fan of Arizona. I mean, even in the summer when it's 118 degrees, you know, it's when it's dry, you get out of the sun in the shade. It's almost like a soothing, warm, you know, to your core bone heating. You know, it's therapeutic. You just, especially that's why old people want to live there, man. You know, they just feel better. It's like they get all lubed up inside, you know, all warm. And that's one thing I noticed, even this summer. You know, if you're always feeling kind of, you're kind of fighting off the cold a little bit, your muscles get tight. You know how you get the shivering? You know, it's just, and it's like you're always tight. You know, it's just that you don't get in the heat, you be relaxed. That's the damn Skippy. But one requirement for me, if at all possible, there needs to be a pool. There needs to be a pool. Because with a pool, you get to just, you know, cool off. It's so dry when you get out. Man, it chills you down real quick because it evaporates so fast. More observations traveling across America when we come back. We'll get to the news in the city.
Get 18,000 radio stations from around the world, Pandora, Opio, Live 365, and MP3 tunes. With C Crane's CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio, it's great in any room of the house. You can listen to your favorite station stream from back home, whether it's another state or another country. Play Free Talk Live's live streams, LRN.FM, or your favorite stations. If you're not familiar with the C Crane Company, their products are the best. Get the CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio at ccrane.com, ccrane.com.
Do you feel like there's nothing you can do about the inexorable growth of government? I did too, before I heard about the Free State Project. The Free State Project is a project to get 20,000 liberty lovers to move to New Hampshire to have liberty in our lifetimes. Early movers for the FSP are getting elected, involved in their communities, and participating in civil disobedience. Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live.
The idea that politicians are leaders. Check your premises on that one.
Got any proof?
Really? Would you really follow Barack Obama or George Bush? Would you really follow their every command? Would you follow their suggestions? Do you believe that politicians are somehow more knowledgeable than you are? That politicians are of a special group of people? They're a special little critter that for some reason is more enlightened or educated? Constantly you can can hear talking heads refer to the authorities or our leaders in Washington, and it's just patently absurd. I mean, these people are failures at life. That's why they became politicians.
Right. There's so many of them are attorneys. The good attorneys make a whole bunch of money and retire with yachts. The unsuccessful ones go into politics.
Free Talk Live, 7 nights a week from 7 to 10 Eastern, live on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
On Free Talk Live, we talk about investing in gold and silver as a hedge against inflation, investment, and barter currency. We've teamed up with Midas Resources to offer you some great rates on some hand-picked gold and silver pieces. U.S. Eagles, British Sovereigns, 20 Francs, Lakota Nation Silver Rounds, Montana Silver Reserves, and Walking Liberty Halves. Call 877-857-9938 or go to gold.freetalklive.com. The shipping is the same for one as it is for 20, so try to get as many as you can all at once. gold.freetalklive.com.
If you can't listen to the Liberty Radio Network's internet streams, free satellite channel, or radio affiliates, no worries. You can listen to LRN.FM from any phone, anywhere. Add this number to your phone, 760-569-7753. It's a long-distance call, so make sure you're familiar with your phone's calling plan. The Liberty Radio Network listen lines are locked on our stream 24 hours a day. Call 760-569-7753. That's 760-569-7753.
There is no such thing as attention span, according to Jerry Seinfeld, who figures that people have an infinite attention span if you are entertaining them. Hey, he's kept us from channel surfing for several decades, and now he's making more millions as a Las Vegas headliner. With money and attention so scarce now, effective communication skills have never been more important, especially if you're looking for work. So choose every single word as though it was the last word the person you're speaking to will hear. Otherwise, it might be. Avoid redundancies such as added bonus, advance warning, end result, prior history, or personal belongings. And avoid cliches like the plague. Just kidding. For more tips, hit survivalspeech.com. I'm Holland Cook.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Donna on the road. Donna and I on the road. It's been a month. I mean, we're going to be, you do a month and see what you learn. All right, well, I'm going to share with you what we learned. That, people are the same. They just want to, live their lives and chill. Be left alone, plan for the future. That's one thing that I can see. If I had to have a common thread of what's going on in America, There's no long-term planned future. It's more we're in survival mode, and it's at every level of our lives, and they're starting to see, just how how gilded it may be, just how much they live in a cage, and on every level. I mean, it's getting to the point you don't really notice it until you turn around. You head in another direction, you feel the wall on the right, on the left, behind you, in front. You grab the bars, the cage, and you start resisting. You start wanting to go, and all of a sudden you feel the shackles. You feel the edge. You feel the boundary. You feel. When that happens, then what? The realization. That's one thing. I remember. What was it? I can't remember who said it. It was Nazi Germany days, I think, in reference to World War II, somebody said something. They said, no one's more enslaved than those who believe they're still free. Well, they still believe they're free. They're starting to get an inkling, as I'm, talking to people anywhere. I mean, check out your bumper stickers at the gas station, you stop in a country market, you ask a few questions, you know, where's the whatever we're looking for, you know, you just strike up a conversation and so on, and they make a comment about the shirt you're wearing and so on and everything. It's not the same as it was even a few years ago. I've been traveling the country quite a bit, especially since, you know, the Levolution started. I've been driving, you know, personal rent a car loves me, and airlines and hotels. And I'm going, so I've done my share of traveling, and I'm telling you, I can feel the difference. It is a temperature that's changing. Something has to break. And I think the big bad guys know this. You know, a lot of times they manufacture it. They count on it. You know, they're prepared for it. In fact, they need it to happen. You know, there needs to be something to, you know, get what they want. They need a, you know, what do they call it? Hegelian dialectic, you know, problem solution. You know, they offer the, they cause the problem and offer themselves as a solution. So this is, you know, throughout time. So, all right. So one thing over the weekend I saw, there was a video. It's a Ron Paul short film somebody did, and it's called Electable, E-L-E-K, table. Electable. And I watched it, and great, you know, concept, good idea, you know, spend a lot of time, money on it, good quality production. It's like a, you know, a commercial for 15, 20 minutes. I think it was like 18 minutes, pretty long. And it was just, and, you know, they threw in the Levolution logo in there. And a lot of people are being exposed to the concept that, is Ron Paul electable? Why do they say he's not? And is he really? And how the delegates saying go to Tampa? And they go through this. And I thought it was well done. It was, you know, it's better not. You know, one less thing I got to do. But there was a lot of comments on it in opposition to the, I don't know why they were so negative on it, but mainly it really didn't do anything to change anybody's mind. It wasn't like, you know, an inspirational thing. It was more like, you know, rationalization to yourself, the movement, let's go to Tampa, and, you know, let's care. And I understand their criticisms. That's better than not. It's just, to me, at the end of it, they started just throwing in a bunch of names. It was like they're paying homage or linking, you know, future people to it. And they're just throwing in a bunch of names. And some of them I'm just like, wow, you're really associating that with this thing. You know, I can see them playing long-term future. We're going to have a movement that goes on politics. And by, you know, throwing in, you know, Doug Weed and Rand Paul into this thing, I just felt it's, excuse me, it's not really what this is about. I can see what's happening. And whenever you got a really big parade, there's always somebody who wants to run and jump in front of it. And people are just happy to be in the parade. They're not looking at who's in front of the parade. You know, when you're a, you know, 10-year-old kid in your small town or whatever, and it's Labor Day or 4th of July or something, and you get to be in the parade, you're like in the parade, and you're getting to express yourself, and you get to wear your thing, and you get to wave to the, you know, the people on the side. I remember being in different parades, you know, on floats and stuff. You get to throw the candy at people or the beads or whatever, and you're just excited. You know, you want to be part of it, and you know why you're there, and you know what you're doing, and who's in front or back just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Excuse me. So this here, it's like it matters. Now, look, there's a parade, and these are the people in charge of it. Here are the names associated with the parade. You're not really the parade. You're not the head of your own parade. There's a parade, and these are the guys leading it. And get in line. And they don't even realize that they do it. They don't understand it. And they can't, and you can't explain it to them. You know, that people watching, they just kind of, they don't get that, you know, feeling. And I could tell the difference because I was, you know, young activist doing this stuff, you know, for a long time on my own. Anyway, we got pleasure from advocating and expressing ourselves. That's one thing we get a lot of criticism in the 90s, like this, you know, that is now, where you'll have tens of thousands of people showing up at rallies, you know, in support of whatever. You know, Dr. Paul comes up and says freedom at a university, and you got thousands of people there, and everybody's there. Heck, a lot of people go for the party, you know. And but the thing is that when you're a libertarian activist and you know you're right, you know you're you want to express yourself, you want to take a side, you're hoping that you can just, you know, make some noise and people out there to, you know, look. Now, that's been my whole thing. I make you look, made you look, you know, out there doing that. And it, you're the only one out there, or you're one of five, or you have a dozen people show up, or, oh my goodness, you got, or two dozen, you know, 25 people show up. And you know that there's a third of those people in there going, this is all that showed up. And the two thirds of us actors were like, wow, this many showed up. Hey, going, oh, what, how do you account for such a small turnout, Mr. Hancock? Small turnout. Oh my goodness. I was shocked. There's more than me and a couple of my friends. So, you know, it's just a perspective, and it's how they want to spin it. So everybody's looking for some kind of absolution or sanction from someone else. And a lot of times I found it came from, you know, it's like your in-laws. Yeah, well, my wife's parents think I'm crazy, whatever. So I, you know, I got to be more low key. I got to this, I got to that. What if you know? What if you know what's going to happen? My in-laws were the same way. You know, they're crazy. As time went on and they, you know, were kind enough to let you fully express yourself. And all of a sudden, everything you said that was going to happen happens. And you start to see, and they go, oh. And I don't think, and if they're quality people, they're not looking for some kind of group sanction or you get, you know, whatever. They're just, you know, looking for, do they start to realize that, you know, you really understood something, that you're right, that you kind of, you saw something, and that you helped them, you know, that they got a better perspective, they have a better understanding, they save some money. So this is the kind of thing I look at that. I look at the activists that do it for the right reasons. I look at the activists that don't need some kind of sanction. I look at the activists that are doing it for the next generation. I look at the activists, they're the town crier. They're the people that are willing to go out front and say what's going on, not expect anybody to follow. You know, not expecting anybody to do anything other than be informed. These are the people that I associate with and I really support. There's some stuff going on in Arizona news. We'll get to it when we come back. I want to share with you. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix digital magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasy.com.
Excuse me, is this where I get a license to start a new business?
I wouldn't be hasty. You have to get a license to go out of business, too, you know.
Oh, well, look, I've invented this little anti-gravity machine, see?
Oh, is that why you're walking 2 inches above the floor?
Oh, yes, it's very comfortable. It saves on shoe leather.
Yeah, well, you have to fill out these forms and report to the Human Services Department of Manpower Orientation and register with the Fair Employment Practice Commission, the Wage and Hour Division of the Employment Standards Administration, the State Sales and Income Tax Division, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Social Security Administration of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. And, of course, OSHA.
OSHA? I thought that was a little town in Wisconsin.
You'll find out. Say, floating around like that could be dangerous. Have you checked with the Consumer Product Safety Commission?
Well, not yet.
Come to think of it, you actually are flying, aren't you? Look, you need to go over to the Federal Aviation Administration and the Transportation...
It's very hard to get anything done these days if you're in business. But free enterprise built this country. Think what could happen if we don't keep it free. A public service of this station and the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, Bellevue, Washington.
We just can't have people floating about unregulated, you know.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take 1 weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports, outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.lrn.fm. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit the Liberty Radio Network when you shop at Amazon via shop.lrn.fm.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
Well, George, you can go this way.
You can do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring Simon to the rally.
Walk with me.
I'm comfortable here, actually.
See the trailer now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
You can connect with the Liberty Radio Network via our Facebook page at facebook.lrn.fm. That's facebook.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied.
Yeah, how are we going to break free here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock? You don't even need to do it with me. Do it yourself. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form. But, you know, I'm not the only one. I hereby secede. There's a video. I watched a little bit of it, and I get it. You know, it's 10 minutes. So, is it 10 minutes? Yeah, it's at least 10 minutes. And it's a gentleman, what's his name? Robert Young, I think. And he put this up, and then he says, I secede from, you know, those. Those won't leave me alone. I secede. And he did a nice video. It's up only a few days. It's already got almost 24,000 views. And that's another thing. YouTube, you can't count on what that could be 200,000 for all you know. They're never accurate. I don't know what the heck. YouTube's starting to get weird, too. You know, all kinds of, this is getting weird. It's slower. It's chunkier. It's, you know, they're getting more controlled. It's just, you know, you can tell they're downloading a bunch of other stuff on your computer, you know, when you're doing it, because it's like a two-way communication that's going in. They're, you know, checking settings or what you viewed before, or gleaning some information or something as you're watching. It's just because when you're on the road and you're using lower bandwidth on your Verizon card or something like that, you know, it's just it's not the same as it was, even though you got a better signal. And I'm just going, there's something else. I'm just, you know, so tired of that. So we're, you know, working on our own server thing. But so here you have, I hereby secede. And it goes on, you know, I'm declaring my independence. I'm seceding. And he comes up with some kind of statement, make up your own, do it. And I see this more and more. It's becoming more and more common. That yesterday I got an email from Angela Keaton from antiwar.com. She sent out to all, I don't know, 5 billion of her closest friends, and saying that, you know, she had an interview with the Daily Bell. Now, I had done one, I don't know, a couple of months ago, And that was good. I mean, it's good to, you know, they ask the, you know, questions that you can pretty much, you know, segue into whatever you want to talk about. But, you know, the questions were good. I enjoyed answering, and, you know, some of my answers were kind of short. You know, they, you know, they got into a lot of philosophy and activism and economics and so on. And I remember the one thing that they really focused on. There's two things that kind of struck me. One is, you know, what I thought about different economic crises going on around the world and, you know, the BRICS and Europe and all this kind of stuff. And what do you think of Europe? And I go, I don't. I, you know, it's coming here. You know, that's the only thing I care is what, you know, we're just getting a preview of what's coming. But, you know, I choose not to think, you know, screw Europe. Seriously. I mean, you know, what do I care? You know, they made their own bed. You know, they can lay in. So this is, what about China? That same thing. You know, same people doing the same stuff in the same way, just different places. You know, the same tune, you know, they just changed the lyrics a little bit. So Angela got to give her expression. I haven't sat through the whole thing. I started reading it. I go, oh, this is good. I want to read this later. And it got, you know, we were really tired, so I haven't got a chance to read it. But I posted it up on Freedom's Phoenix. So that's one of the things as we're driving, I get to enjoy today. And I know Angela is such a good writer, and she really gets right to the point. And it's a different perspective, and she just, boom. But it's all the same theme I'm starting to see. You know, they're going to the people that know. There, you know, there's people that get to express themselves that, you know, their opinion should freaking count, because, man, they're on the blunt end of the, you know, the heel of the boot. You know, they got the left jack boot or the right jack boot on their throat from the jack boot party. I mean, you know, it's you know, it matter which left or right boot, still a jack boot on your throat party. You know, so we understand, and there's so many people I know that understand. We're sitting here waiting on America to freaking figure it out. Do you realize what's going on? You're just livestock. That's how they see you. That's how they view you. That's how they treat you. So, you know, and there was a, you know, a flag. I remember my friend Bobby, he'd always say this, you know, and I was at, that was a gun show or some event or festival or something, and he had this flag. It's a big flag, and it has the Jolly Rogers skull and crossbones up there, and it said, "The beatings will continue until morale improves." You know, and I got that for him because, you know, he's always saying that about work or something. And he put it up at work. He has his own office, and they made him take it down. No. No. So, you know, I can see that's what's going on. You know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. And if you ever had a relationship that's like that, or a parent, or a boss, or something, it's like, you know, it's not their goal to be more efficient. It's not their goal to inspire. It's not their goal. It's their goal to demonstrate their control. Their goal is control. What they do with it, or how much more productive they can be with it, or if they can inspire you to go on to do it. No, their goal is control. And a lot of us that are activists over the last few years that really got involved in Levolution and so on, you can see that. Every, you know, the enormous, enormous change, shift. People finally, why won't they get, we need people, if they don't care, they'll never this. And you, and not motivated. The next generation is going to, we're going to go to hell in a handbasket. You know, they're always complaining about whatever. Then when you have it, you get the people, man, they are riled up, and they're what they want to do. They're learning. They want to learn. They have the perspective on their perception of what's real and what's not. When they do that, they go, no, that's not what I was talking about, because you're not doing what I want to do. You're not in control, therefore you are out of control. So I'm, just think of that terminology. You're out of control. This is what motivates me to do a lot of this stuff. I just, you know, I'm much safer. My future is more secure. My children's lives, everything, my grandchildren, the future is much brighter when you're not in control. And that's one thing that, you know, a system does, is when you have a universal answer to everything, you got universal health care, universal, you know, best case, you got a whatever the heck. Whenever you do that, one problem, it infects the entire system. Everybody goes down. And it will always have a problem. Because when there is a problem, what does the system do? It justifies whatever it did. No, it didn't work because we didn't have enough control. We needed more money. We needed more compliance. We needed more, you know, outliers, you know, weren't cooperating, the people that we need to work, you know, from each according to their ability, to each according to their need kind of thing. We didn't get enough control. This happens at every level of everything. And libertarians probably have the rhetoric a lot better, but when it comes down to it, a lot of times they're just as bad. Because decentralization is the key. You know, yeah, but then you can't, what? No, decentralization is the goal. Because all the other stuff comes from that. The freedom, you know, the individual actions of all of us together, you know, make up the culture. It makes up society. And if you don't like what's happening here, okay, I'll walk across the street and go over here. You know? So how does that manifest itself? When you're driving across the country, all of a sudden, and I was, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, we were driving across country. You didn't always have everything was interstate. I mean, they were still building it. They just started that. Eisenhower did that in the 50s. I mean, you know, it's not like they now they got every freaking everything. Not only you got interstate on top of interstate next to an interstate. So in the day, it was, you know, a lot different. You went on country roads. And when we were going to Decatur, we were going through Fort Worth, and all of a sudden, you know, it's late night, you know, it's midnight and so on. They got this closure and go here and detour there. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves with a bunch of 18-wheelers at a dead end on the freeway. How the heck did we get here? Oh, I'm sorry. No access. Well, they were stuck. They couldn't even turn around. You know, I'm like, wow, this is sucks. So we turned around and finally we meandered. I said, you know, we're not going to get there this way. We got to go some other back roadway. So there's a town called Denton north of Fort Worth. We had to go up to Denton and then little farm road zigzagging across the Lone Prairie of Texas, you know, between ranches and so on, to get to where my sister lived. So it took an extra couple of hours. But in the process, you know, you make it. You get there. You go through the ruralness of, you know, and I remember that's how you crossed the country back in the day. It was different. Oh, Dad, stop there. It's a big, giant boot. You know, old Mother Hubbard, you know, had a boot, lived in a shoe, you know, whatever. And you got that. No, they got milkshakes. Oh, motel, the TP over there. I want to do the TP. Now we're going to do that diversity, that individuality, it's gone. It's gone. Replaced with what? We get better hamburgers? Oh, we stopped at White Castle just to say we did. You know, I'm not doing that again. I did it was just, wow. There's a bunch of other stuff, observations I want to make. And there's a thing going on in Arizona I'll share with you when we